You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. Today, I have a quirky story ripped from the headlines, but even the headlines are quirky. Quote, fiction outdone by fact, strange story concerning an escaped Nebraska convict, or, quote, a robber's nest? Intrigued?
You have me. Yeah.
Well, then let's jump in and be surrounded by history. Perched on a grassy green hill surrounded by a cluster of oak trees in Rapidan Township, just east of the town of Rapidan, was a brick schoolhouse. This school was established in 1867 as the Blue Earth County School District Number 91. The school became known as the Yeager Schoolhouse, named for the Yeager family who owned the land surrounding the building. This was quite common for the schoolhouse to be named this way. Prior to 1900, there were nearly 150 rural schoolhouses in Blue Earth County.
Wow.
The Little Yeager Schoolhouse has a very interesting history because at one time it was thought to be haunted. Stories of the Yeager Schoolhouse ghost have become a part of local folklore passed down through the years. Newspaper accounts tell of the story of what actually happened in 1897 and the events that began to unfold the mystery.
All right, you've already got me hooked. Like, I'm ready to go.
All right, let's go.
Each time you finish a line, like, okay, all right.
Let's go then. In the second half of 1896, local newspapers reported a number of strange incidences going on in the county for months. Teams of horses had been taken from barns and found tied to a neighbor's tree the next morning, having been driven very hard overnight. A cow disappeared one afternoon and wandered home the next day, already milked. Items had gone missing from chicken coops, smokehouses, clotheslines, and even basement shelves stocked with preserves and canned goods. In fact, former state senator William A. Just, who owned a beautiful riding horse, found his horse coming down the road toward his home one morning, tired and sweaty. The animal had been ridden hard, but there was no rider. Herman Mischke awoke to find his team, harness and wagon, gone one morning. Later in the day, the team came home driverless, tired, and showing the signs of a hard, long trip. Then, on the night of February 4th, 1897, the depot at Garden City was broken into, and over $1,000 worth of freight was taken. No signs of the perpetrator, or was there? These strange happenings kept on for months and months. At first, people thought it was a very clever thief, or maybe just a person wandering through the area. But then unexplainable things began to occur around the Yeager Schoolhouse. John Ballard, a student at the school who built the fire for the schoolhouse during the winter, reported to his teacher, Miss Eva Hauer, that many times when he reached the building, he saw smoke coming from the chimney. But he always found the stove cold. Sometimes even found the kindling he had prepared the night before was gone in the morning. Who was this ghostly thief? Who could burn fires yet never heat the stove? Who could vanish quickly into thin air? Who could never be seen or heard? It must be a ghost. The answer was soon be revealed by a pair of mittens and a red bicycle.
Now you're going to stop there? We have to wait for break?
We'll have a break, and then we'll come back.
Apparently, you took lessons in storytelling, like mysteries or something. This is... All right.
Are you hooked?
I've been hooked since the first paragraph.
All right. We need to take a little break. Welcome back to Surrounded by History. We'll jump back into our history mystery.
Ooh, history mystery. Okay. All right.
Cyrus Briggs Miller was a small 20-year-old man who originated from Missouri. In 1894, Cyrus was arrested for theft in Nebraska and sentenced to 1 year in the Nebraska State Prison. One day, 7 months into his sentence, while alone in a room, Cyrus cut out a panel of wainscoting and stepped behind it. And for 3 days, he worked his way up the chimney by taking out bricks above and filling in under his feet, thus raising himself to the top, to the roof. During these 3 days, the city was being searched for him, all while he was still in the walls of the prison.
He a little Shawshank Redemption style there.
Exactly. He made his escape and headed east, landing in Iowa and then onto Blue Earth County. In the summer of 1896, he came upon the Yeager Schoolhouse in rural Blue Earth County when school was not in session. Now here's where the story becomes stranger than fiction. He used a skeleton key to open the door, and after surveying the building...
It's like mystery
Thank
theater
you.
Now. Here we
I
go.
Like it.
You're welcome.
All right, let's start over. He used a skeleton key to open the door, and after surveying the building, he went to work building his hideout. He skillfully removed a section of the wainscoting on the inside of the building directly opposite the chimney. The boards were sawed very carefully just under the molding, along the top and across the bottom on a level with the floor. Then, by sawing downward along the grooves between the boards, a small door was formed, which escaped detection by the students and teacher. The door had hooks on the inside with which to fasten it, and a weight attached to a pulley kept his improvised door tightly closed. The weight was 2 heavy chunks of wood in a gunny sack. These chunks of wood were imprinted with the name Eric Holberg, from whose farm they had been stolen. He then dug down inside the lower part of the chimney and by this means tunneled under the schoolhouse. Most of his work was done at night. The nearest house was the old Yeager homestead, about a quarter of a mile away, so he was safe from interruption. He labored for days, digging on a slanted tunnel and room, which was under the north end of the schoolhouse. Here he excavated a large room about 6 by 7 by 9 feet. The ingenuity of this really remarkable man was again demonstrated by the method adopted to get rid of the dirt removed in order to form that room. The earth was packed between the joists holding the floor and held by boards nailed on the underside, thus made a receptacle for the surplus dirt, as well as formed a dead wall through which no sound could penetrate to give warning to those in the room above of the presence of the fugitive.
Wow.
How long it must have taken him to build this room is unknown. The walls were of the best shiplap. So was the ceiling. In fact, the walls were even wallpapered and the floor had carpet. In the den, Cyrus had all the comforts of home: a bed, stove, cooking utensils, books, papers, and all the accessories to make a person feel like life is worth living. When he got hungry, he foraged the neighboring farms for choice meals, from hen coops, fresh milk, and gardens, to cellars of canned goods and smokehouses for meat. The Yeager schoolhouse ghost had everything he needed to keep himself comfortable during the day, while the children studied above his head. No one suspected a thing. Just like a ghost, he was invisible.
All right. Why there's not a movie made about this story yet, I don't know. How did he get caught? Like, whatever happened, you know, what about the men's and the red bicycle? Like, give me, come on, keep going.
All right, all right. So, perhaps feeling the law was getting too close or feeling a little overconfident on his prison escape, Cyrus began to move his possessions to a room he had rented in Fairmont. To help with the move, he had taken a team of horses from the barn of Al Brush near Amboy and a buggy from C.H. Brush's barn nearby and moved 2 loads from the schoolhouse. He then left the team and buggy in the woods near Winnebago and sent the owners postcards telling them where their property could be found.
So he's a nice thief.
Just a nice thief.
Yeah. He's like a Robin Hood type thing.
Well, kind of.
I'm going to borrow this. I'm going to return. You're going to pick this up at the next stop.
Exactly. Cyrus was seen around Fairmont, but didn't really draw too much attention to himself, or so he thought. On April 6th, 1897, there was a report in Mankato that a red bicycle had been stolen from the Jensen and Perrins warehouse. The Blue Earth County Sheriff shared the report with his colleagues in the neighboring towns and counties, including the sheriff in Martin County. Well, by now, you can about guess that Cyrus is the culprit who stole the red bicycle. While in Fairmont, he stashed the bike under the bridge. The sheriff spotted the missing bike and waited near the bridge for the culprit, a.k.a. Cyrus, to retrieve it. Cyrus was arrested on June 10th. He wouldn't talk for 3 days. But then his will began to unravel and he confessed to everything. But it would take another 5 days before he would tell the authorities about the Yeager School hideout.
Okay. First of all, is the red bicycle that big of a deal that it stood out that much back in the day? Like nobody had a red bicycle?
Well, I think because it had been reported stolen.
Right. But still, there's a red bicycle and just assume that it's a stolen one? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
And well, and it's a stolen bicycle hidden under the bridge.
Okay.
So I think that probably drew
the bridge may throw
up.
Okay, then I have another question, and maybe you don't know all the answers to this, but is the Rapidan school though still the school that we're talking about?
No,
that's not the same one.
No, it's a country school.
It's no longer there. So the school's no longer there, neither in this building.
I'll get to it.
Oh, I have to have to patience. Okay, I'll wait.
Okay.
Sorry.
There's more to the story.
Oh.
Okay. As his story was put together with other mysterious happenings, all started to make sense. It explained why smoke had been seen coming from the schoolhouse chimney on a summer afternoon, but the stove was cold. Cyrus had rigged a way to use the same chimney for his stove. Now it was assumed a ham that had disappeared from a smokehouse or preserves missing from a basement with an outside entrance or school books that were taken from several schools in the area had all ended up in the hideout under the Yeager School. It also explained where the team of George Darby, 3 miles south of Rapidan, and the sleigh of his neighbor, James Van Winkle, disappeared to on the night of February 4th, coming home driverless but covered with sweat the next morning. If you remember, February 4th was when the Garden City Depot was robbed.
That's right.
So there could have been no coincidence that the Garden City Depot had been robbed that very night, and the only thing found at the crime scene was a pair of cloth mittens.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
You guessed it. When they searched Cyrus's lair, they found a piece of cloth of the same material with the pattern of mittens cut out, an exact match to the mittens in the depot, caught red-handed.
Red bicycled.
So why did Cyrus carve out his hideout under the schoolhouse? His only response was that he wanted to be alone. He wanted secrecy. He wished to get away from the world. And in the seclusion of the room he had made for himself, he could read books and study. After Cyrus's confession, people from miles around came to see the wonderful underground home.
I want to see it.
And after a time, the curiosity became so intense, the officers of the school district determined to charge a small admission fee to those wishing to inspect the strange retreat. Finally, the crush of sightseers grew to great proportions that the school officials decided to fill in and destroy all trace of the cave. And unfortunately, the money raised from the admission fee was not enough to repair the damage Cyrus had made to the building. On November 15th, 1897, Cyrus was found guilty in Blue Earth County Court for the robbery at the Garden City Depot and sentenced to 5 years of hard labor for grand larceny in the first degree in the Minnesota State Prison in Stillwater. After he served that five-year sentence, he was returned to Nebraska to finish out his first sentence. And he probably got sentenced a little longer for escaping prison. I wonder whatever happened to Cyrus Briggs Miller, the ghost of the Yeager School. Did he ever write a book of his escapades? This story is definitely stranger than fiction.
Okay, so it's like definitely stranger than fiction. Makes me think of all these different movies, obviously.
Wouldn't it make a great movie?
It seriously would. Like, tell me a little bit more about the location of the... So it's not the school that I'm thinking of in Rapidan now,
no,
right?
Nope, it's not the school that was in the town. This would have been a country schoolhouse.
So just on the countryside someplace.
Yep. And as far as I am aware, as of the couple of years ago, the building was still standing in the middle of a corn or soybean field on private property. But as we have unfortunately discovered that pretty much...
It's not the same anymore.
It's not the same.
So now, Okay, so 1896. I love thinking about that stuff. Like, that building still stands, though.
Yes.
No matter if it's a schoolhouse anymore or not, it still stands after that many years.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have that much history beneath it that they just filled in. Like, because if they filled it in, like, I assume they filled it in, they just literally put dirt in there. They didn't take nothing out. Like, if you actually went digging for it, you might find some cool stuff.
It's possible, but I'm curious. You know, maybe somebody actually already did a little excavation
of this.
I don't know. It is private property. I'm just going to repeat that 100 times because I don't want us to get in trouble.
That's true. True. So, okay, how about this? Where is this guy originally from? Like, what? Like, you said it kind of, he wanted the secrecy of his school building, but there has to be something more to that. Like, do we know anything else about his past?
Yeah. So, what I read about him, unfortunately, once he leaves Minnesota, he, like, pretty much disappears. We couldn't find anything about him. So, it really is a mystery to find out.
Did he stay in prison in Nebraska or
Yeah,
not?
Or when he passed away, or if he ever wrote about all of this kind of stuff, he got in trouble again. None of this. We don't know any of those answers. But he started life in Ohio. I think his mother passed away as a young man. And so, him and his father ended up in Missouri.
Okay.
And then how he ends up in Nebraska, I don't know. But I do know that for a short period of time, he was a school teacher.
Oh. And so that did tie into why he was at school and why he wanted to. That's kind of interesting to hear about a criminal who's like, I'm going to hide out in the school and also going to study. Like,
yeah.
What are you studying for?
Yeah. He just wanted to read. He wanted to be educated, which obviously he must have read enough to know how to be, how to take things apart and how to put them back together. So
that part's incredible. I mean, he figured out the way to get out of the prison that way.
Yep.
Going up the chimney. And he figured out a way to dig into the ground at the school, and be smart enough to do that. Like, it makes you wonder, what were you doing being a criminal if you're that smart in the
exactly.
first place? Like, the things you could have did otherwise.
Exactly. And the idea that this lair that he had was, like, completely decked out. So it literally had carpet, wallpaper on the walls. He had a bed and a stove. And, I mean, he had everything he could possibly need.
Mm-hmm.
His own little bachelor pad.
A coconut radio is all we're missing, basically.
Exactly. His own little bachelor pad and no one to bother him but some school kids upstairs. And they couldn't even hear him.
Yeah, they couldn't hear him. He probably couldn't hear them that well. So he slept all day.
Yep.
And
then
causing trouble all night.
Exactly. And nobody knew it. And then animals would come back and be like, what the heck were you doing all night?
Right. So, how did you get out of your pen? What are you doing out
here? Isn't it a crazy story? Just an absolute crazy story that happened right here in Blue Earth County.
Honestly, somebody should get a hold of somebody and try to make this a movie or a short series. Like, this is the kind of stuff they make short series about all the time.
That's right. Well, maybe we've got a side gig.
Great. We have to make this into a plot line for Netflix.
There we go.
Steven Spielberg just signed a deal. This would be totally up his alley, man.
All right. Well, we could try to we could be, you know, skipping town ourselves if we could sell this. So we sure hope that you enjoyed today's program as much as we enjoyed today's program as we explored the mystery of the Yeager Schoolhouse in Rapidan Township. All of the information we shared today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.